With Gotami, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. With Gotami. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Sakyans, near Kapilavastu in the Banyan Tree Monastery. Then Mahaprajapati Gotami went up to the Buddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, "Sir, please let females gain the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Enough, Gotami. Don't endorse the going forth for females from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." For a second time, for a third time, Mahaprajapati Gotami said to the Buddha, "Sir, please let females gain the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Enough, Gotami. Don't endorse the going forth for females from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." Then Mahaprajapati Gotami thought, "The Buddha does not permit females to go forth." Miserable and sad, weeping with a tearful face, she bowed and respectfully circled the Buddha, keeping him on her right before leaving. When the Buddha had stayed in Kapilavastu as long as he pleased, he set out for Vesali. Travelling stage by stage, he arrived at Vesali, where he stayed at the great wood in the hall with the peaked roof. Then Mahaprajapati Gotami had her hair shaved and dressed in ochre robes. Together with several Sakyan ladies, she set out for Vesali. Travelling stage by stage, she arrived at Vesali and went to the great wood, the hall with the peaked roof. Then Mahaprajapati Gotami stood crying outside the gate, her feet swollen, her limbs covered with dust, miserable and sad, with tearful face. Venerable Ananda saw her standing there and said to her, "Gotami, why do you stand crying outside the gate, your feet swollen, your limbs covered with dust, miserable and sad, with tearful face?" "Honourable Ananda, it's because the Buddha does not permit females to go forth in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Well then, Gotami, wait here just a moment while I ask the Buddha to grant the going forth for females." Then Venerable Ananda went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, "Sir, Mahaprajapati Gotami is standing crying outside the gate, her feet swollen, her limbs covered with dust, miserable and sad, with tearful face. She says that it's because the Buddha does not permit females to go forth. Sir, please let females gain the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Enough, Ananda. Don't endorse the going forth for females from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." For a second time, for a third time, Ananda said to the Buddha, "Sir, please let females gain the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Enough, Ananda. Don't endorse the going forth for females from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." Then Venerable Ananda thought, "The Buddha does not permit females to go forth. Why don't I try another approach?" Then Venerable Ananda said to the Buddha, "Sir, is a female able to realize the fruits of stream entry, once return, non-return, and perfection once she has gone forth?" "She is able, Ananda." "If a female is able to realize the fruits of stream entry, once return, non-return, and perfection once she has gone forth, sir, Mahaprajapati has been very helpful to the Buddha. She is his aunt who raised him, nurtured him, and gave him her milk. When the Buddha's birth mother passed away, she nurtured him at her own breast. Sir, please let females gain the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One." "Ananda, If Maha Prajapati Gotami accepts these 8 principles of respect, that will be her ordination. A nun, even if she has been ordained for 100 years, should bow down to a monk who was ordained that very day. She should rise up for him, greet him with joined palms, and observe proper etiquette toward him. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. A nun should not commence the rainy season residence in a monastery without monks. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. Each fortnight the nuns should expect 2 things from the community of monks, the date of the Sabbath and visiting for advice. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. After completing the rainy season residence, the nuns should invite admonition from the communities of both monks and nuns in regard to anything that was seen, heard, or suspected. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. A nun who has committed a grave offence should undergo penance in the communities of both monks and nuns for a fortnight. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. A trainee nun who has trained in the 6 rules for 2 years should seek ordination from the communities of both monks and nuns. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. A nun should not abuse or insult a monk in any way. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. From this day forth, it is forbidden for nuns to criticise monks, but it is not forbidden for monks to criticise nuns. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. If Maha Prajapati Gotami accepts these 8 principles of respect, that will be her ordination. Then Ananda, having learned these 8 principles of respect from the Buddha himself, went to Maha Prajapati Gotami and said, Gotami, if you accept 8 principles of respect, that will be your ordination. A nun, even if she has been ordained for 100 years, should bow down to a monk who was ordained that very day. She should rise up for him, greet him with joined palms, and observe proper etiquette toward him. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. From this day forth, it is forbidden for nuns to criticise monks, but it is not forbidden for monks to criticise nuns. This principle should be honoured, respected, esteemed, and venerated, and not transgressed so long as life lasts. If you accept these 8 principles of respect, that will be your ordination. Ananda, suppose there was a woman or man who was young, youthful, and fond of adornments, and had bathed their head. After getting a garland of lotuses, jasmine, or liana flowers, they would take them in both hands and place them on the crown of the head. In the same way, sir, I accept these 8 principles of respect as not to be transgressed so long as life lasts. Then Venerable Ananda went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and said to the Buddha, Sir, Maha Prajapati Gotami has accepted the 8 principles of respect as not to be transgressed so long as life lasts. Ananda, if females had not gained the going forth from the lay life to homelessness in the teaching and training proclaimed by the Realized One, the spiritual life would have lasted long. The true teaching would have remained for 1,000 years. But since they have gained the going forth, now the spiritual life will not last long. The true teaching will remain only 500 years. It's like those families with many women and few men. They're easy prey for bandits and thieves. In the same way, the spiritual life does not last long in a teaching and training where females gain the going for. It's like a field full of rice. Once the disease called white bones attacks, it doesn't last long. In the same way, the spiritual life does not last long in a teaching and training where females gain the going forth. It's like a field full of sugar cane. Once the disease called red rot attacks, it doesn't last long. In the same way, the spiritual life does not last long in a teaching and training where females gain the going forth. As a man might build a dike around a large lake as a precaution against the water overflowing, in the same way, as a precaution, I've prescribed the 8 principles of respect as not to be transgressed so long as life lasts. An advisor for nuns. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Visali at the great wood in the hall with the peaked roof. Then Venerable Ananda went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and said to the Buddha, "Sir, how many qualities should a monk have to be deemed an advisor for nuns?" Ananda, "A monk with 8 qualities may be deemed an advisor for nuns." "What 8? "Firstly, a monk is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well and seeking alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. They're learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's totally full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, reciting them, mentally scrutinizing them and comprehending them theoretically. Both monastic codes have been passed down to them in detail, well analyzed, well mastered, well evaluated in both the rules and accompanying material. They're a good speaker, their voice is polished, clear, articulate and expresses the meaning. They're able to educate, encourage, fire up and inspire the community of nuns. They're likeable and agreeable to most of the nuns. They have never previously sexually harassed any woman wearing the ochre robe who has gone forth in the Buddha's name. They have been ordained for 20 years or more. A monk with these 8 qualities may be deemed an advisor for nuns." Brief advice to Gotami. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Visali at the great wood in the hall with the peaked roof. Then Mahaprajapati Gotami went up to the Buddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, "Sir, may the Buddha please teach me Dhamma in brief. When I've heard it, I'll live alone, withdrawn, diligent, keen and resolute." Gotami, "You might know that certain things lead to passion, not dispassion, to yoking, not to unyoking, to accumulation, not dispersal, to more desires, not fewer, to lack of contentment, not contentment, to crowding, not seclusion, to laziness, not energy, to being burdensome, not being unburdensome. Categorically, you should remember these things as not the teaching, not the training, and not the teacher's instructions. You might know that certain things lead to dispassion, not passion, to unyoking, not to yoking, to dispersal, not accumulation, to fewer desires, not more, to contentment, not lack of contentment, to seclusion, not crowding, to energy, not laziness, to being unburdensome, not being burdensome. Categorically, you should remember these things as the teaching, the training, and the teacher's instructions." With Dika Janu. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Kolians, where they have a town named Kakarapata. Then Dikarjanu, the Kolian, went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and said to the Buddha, Sir, we are lay people who enjoy sensual pleasures and living at home with our children. We use sandalwood imported from Kasi. We wear garlands, perfumes, and makeup, and we accept gold and money. May the Buddha please teach us the Dhamma in a way that leads to our welfare and happiness in this life and in future lives. Bhyakkhapajja, these four things lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in this life. What for? Accomplishment in initiative, protection, good friendship, and balanced finances. And what is accomplishment in initiative? It's when a gentleman earns a living by means such as farming, trade, raising cattle, archery, government service, or one of the professions. He understands how to go about these things in order to complete and organize the work. This is called accomplishment in initiative. And what is accomplishment in protection? It's when a gentleman owns legitimate wealth that he has earned by his own efforts and initiative, built up with his own hands, gathered by the sweat of the brow. He ensures it is guarded and protected, thinking, How can I prevent my wealth from being taken by rulers or bandits, consumed by fire, swept away by flood, or taken by unloved heirs? This is called accomplishment in protection. And what is accomplishment in good friendship? It's when a gentleman resides in a town or village, and in that place there are householders or their children who may be young or old, but are mature in conduct, accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. He associates with them, converses and engages in discussion, and he emulates the same kind of accomplishment in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. This is called accomplishment in good friendship. And what is accomplishment in balanced finances? It's when a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, balances his finances, being neither too extravagant nor too frugal. He thinks, In this way my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. It's like an appraiser or their apprentice who, holding up the scales, knows that it's low by this much or high by this much. In the same way, a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, balances finances, being neither too extravagant nor too frugal. He thinks, In this way my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. If a gentleman has little income but an opulent life, people will say, This gentleman eats their wealth like a fig eater. If a gentleman has a large income but a Spartan life, people will say, This gentleman is starving themselves to death. But a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, leads a balanced life, neither too extravagant nor too frugal, thinking, In this way my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. This is called accomplishment in balanced finances. There are four drains on wealth that has been gathered in this way: womanizing, drinking, gambling, and having bad friends, companions, and associates. Suppose there was a large reservoir with four inlets and four drains, and someone was to open up the drains and close off the inlets, and the heavens don't provide enough rain. You'd expect that large reservoir to dwindle, not expand. In the same way, there are four drains on wealth that has been gathered in this way: womanizing, drinking, gambling, and having bad friends, companions, and associates. There are four inlets for this wealth that has been gathered in this way: not womanizing, drinking, or gambling, and having good friends, companions, and associates. Suppose there was a large reservoir with four inlets and four drains, and someone was to open up the inlets and close off the drains, and the heavens provide plenty of rain. You'd expect that large reservoir to expand, not dwindle. In the same way, there are four inlets for wealth that has been gathered in this way: not womanizing, drinking, or gambling, and having good friends, companions, and associates. These are the four things that lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in this life. These four things lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in future lives. What for? Accomplishment in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. And what is accomplishment in faith? It's when a gentleman has faith in the realized one's awakening. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. This is called accomplishment in faith. And what is accomplishment in ethics? It's when a gentleman doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or consume alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. This is called accomplishment in ethics. And what is accomplishment in generosity? It's when a gentleman lives at home rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. This is called accomplishment in generosity. And what is accomplishment in wisdom? It's when a gentleman is wise. He has the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. This is called accomplishment in wisdom. These are the four things that lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in future lives. They're enterprising in the workplace, diligent in managing things, they balance their finances and preserve their wealth. Faithful, accomplished in ethics, bountiful, rid of stinginess, they always purify the path to well-being in lives to come. And so these eight qualities of a faithful householder are declared by the one who is truly named to lead to happiness in both spheres, welfare and benefit in this life, and happiness in the future lives. This is how, for a householder, merit grows by generosity. With Ujjayi. Then Ujjayi, the Brahmin, went up to the Buddha and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side and said to the Buddha, "Mr. Gotama, we wish to travel abroad. May the Buddha please teach us the Dhamma in a way that leads to our welfare and happiness in this life and in future lives." Brahmin, these four things lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in this life. What for? Accomplishment in initiative, protection, good friendship, and balanced finances. And what is accomplishment in initiative? A gentleman may earn a living by means such as farming, trade, raising cattle, archery, government service, or one of the professions. He understands how to go about these things in order to complete and organize the work. This is called accomplishment in initiative. And what is accomplishment in protection? It's when a gentleman owns legitimate wealth that he has earned by his own efforts and initiative, built up with his own hands, gathered by the sweat of the brow. He ensures it is guarded and protected, thinking, "How can I prevent my wealth from being taken by rulers or bandits, consumed by fire, swept away by flood, or taken by unloved heirs?" This is called accomplishment in protection. And what is accomplishment in good friendship? It's when a gentleman resides in a town or village, and in that place there are householders or their children who may be young or old, but are mature in conduct, accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. He associates with them, converses, and engages in discussion, and he emulates the same kind of accomplishment in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. This is called accomplishment in good friendship. And what is accomplishment in balanced finances? It's when a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, balances his finances, being neither too extravagant nor too frugal. He thinks, In this way, my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. It's like an appraiser or their apprentice who, holding up the scales, knows that it's low by this much or high by this much. In the same way, a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, balances his finances, being neither too extravagant nor too frugal. He thinks, in this way my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. If a gentleman has little income but an opulent life, people will say, this gentleman eats their wealth like a fig-eater. If a gentleman has a large income but a Spartan life, people will say, this gentleman is starving themselves to death. But a gentleman, knowing his income and expenditure, leads a balanced life, neither too extravagant nor too frugal, thinking, in this way my income will exceed my expenditure, not the reverse. This is called accomplishment in balanced finances. There are four drains on wealth that has been gathered in this way: womanizing, drinking, gambling, and having bad friends, companions, and associates. Suppose there was a large reservoir with four inlets and four drains, and someone was to open up the drains and close off the inlets, and the heavens don't provide enough rain. You'd expect that large reservoir to dwindle, not expand. In the same way, there are four drains on wealth that has been gathered in this way: womanizing, drinking, gambling, and having bad friends, companions, and associates. There are four inlets for wealth that has been gathered in this way: not womanizing, drinking, or gambling, and having good friends, companions, and associates. Suppose there was a large reservoir with four inlets and four drains, and someone was to open up the inlets and close off the drains, and the heavens provide plenty of rain. You'd expect that large reservoir to expand, not dwindle. In the same way, there are four inlets for wealth that has been gathered in this way: not womanizing, drinking, or gambling, and having good friends, companions, and associates. These are the four things that lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in this life. These four things lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in future lives. What for? Accomplishment in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. And what is accomplishment in faith? It's when a gentleman has faith in the realized one's awakening. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. This is called accomplishment in faith. And what is accomplishment in ethics? It's when a gentleman doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or consume alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. This is called accomplishment in ethics. And what is accomplishment in generosity? It's when a gentleman lives at home, rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. This is called accomplishment in generosity. And what is accomplishment in wisdom? It's when a gentleman is wise. He has the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. This is called accomplishment in wisdom. These are the four things that lead to the welfare and happiness of a gentleman in future lives. They are enterprising in the workplace, diligent in managing things, they balance their finances and preserve their wealth. Faithful, accomplished in ethics, bountiful, rid of stinginess, they always purify the path to well-being in lives to come. And so these eight qualities of a faithful householder are declared by the one who is truly named to lead to happiness in both spheres, welfare and benefit in this life, and happiness in the next. This is how, for a householder, merit grows by generosity. Danger. Mendicants, Danger is a term for sensual pleasures, suffering, disease, boil, dart, snare, bog, and womb are terms for sensual pleasures. And why is danger a term for sensual pleasures? Someone who is besotted by sensual greed and shackled by lustful desire is not freed from dangers in the present life or in lives to come. That is why danger is a term for sensual pleasures. And why are suffering, disease, boil, dart, snare, bog, and womb terms for sensual pleasures? Someone who is besotted by sensual greed and shackled by lustful desire is not freed from wombs in the present life or in lives to come. That is why womb is a term for sensual pleasures. Danger, suffering, and disease, boil, dart, and snare, and bogs, and wombs, both. These describe the sensual pleasures to which ordinary people are attached. Swamped by things that seem pleasant, you go to another womb. But when a mendicant is keen and doesn't forget awareness, in this way they transcend this grueling swamp. They watch this population flounder, fallen into rebirth and old age. Worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods. First. Mendicants. A mendicant with 8 qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. What 8? It's when a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well, and seeking alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. They're learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's totally full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, reciting them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. They have good friends, companions, and associates. They have right view, possessing right perspective. They get the 4 absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind when they want, without trouble or difficulty. They recollect many kinds of past lives with features and details. With clairvoyance that is purified and surpasses the human, they see how sentient beings are reborn according to their deeds. They realize the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and they live having realized it with their own insight due to the ending of defilements. A mendicant with these 8 qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. Worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods. Second. A mendicant with 8 qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. What 8? It's when a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well and seeking alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. They're learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's totally full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, reciting them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. They live with energy roused up. They're strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. They live in the wilderness in remote lodgings. They prevail over desire and discontent, and live having mastered desire and discontent whenever they arose. They prevail over fear and dread, and live having mastered fear and dread whenever they arose. They get the 4 absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, when they want, without trouble or difficulty. They realize the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and they live having realized it with their own insight due to the ending of defilements. A mendicant with these eight qualities is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of veneration with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. Eight people, first. Mendicants, these eight people are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. What eight? The stream enterer and the one practicing to realize the fruit of stream entry. The once returner and the one practicing to realize the fruit of once return. The non-returner and the one practicing to realize the fruit of non-return. The perfected one and the one practicing for perfection. These are the eight people who are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. Four practicing the path, and four established in the fruit. This is the upright Sangha with wisdom, ethics, and immersion. For humans, those merit-seeking creatures who sponsor sacrifices, making worldly merit, what is given to the Sangha is very fruitful. Eight people, second. Mendicants, these eight people are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. What eight? The stream enterer and the one practicing to realize the fruit of stream entry. The once returner and the one practicing to realize the fruit of once return. The non-returner and the one practicing to realize the fruit of non-return. The perfected one and the one practicing for perfection. These are the eight people who are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. Four practicing the path, and four established in the fruit. This is the exalted Sangha, the eight people among sentient beings. For humans, those merit-seeking creatures who sponsor sacrifices, making worldly merit, what's given here is very fruitful.